Necmettin Erbakan, Turkey's new prime minister, has demonstrated his determination to align Turkey more closely with the Islamic world. He's also shown that he will operate more independently of the United States than his predecessors did. The signals came during a five-nation tour that Mr. Erbakan completed today, a tour that included a friendly stopover in Iran and the signing of a $23 billion agreement to buy Iranian natural gas. Turkey is a key U.S. ally. It's been a bulwark against Iraq, against Iran, and Islamic extremism. So Mr. Erbakan's journey has Washington worried. NPR's Ted Clark reports.
Rarely have the travels of a Turkish prime minister elicited such interest. But Necmettin Erbakan is no ordinary prime minister, and this was no ordinary trip. He is the first Islamic activist to serve as prime minister of Turkey, and for his first official journey, Mr. Erbakan chose to go east to other Muslim countries rather than west to Turkey's traditional NATO allies. His itinerary included Pakistan, Malaysia, and Indonesia. His very first stop was Tehran for the signing of the gas agreement, an agreement that defies Washington's policy of isolating Iran. He defended the deal today by saying, "What could be more natural than us getting such cheap, abundant natural gas from right next door?" In another challenge to Washington, Mr. Erbakan sent two senior officials to Baghdad last week to seek improved political and economic ties with Iraq. Alan Makovsky of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
Erbakan has devoted his political career, more than a quarter of a century, to criticizing the West, the United States, often in very inflammatory language. The hope was that once in office, he would take a more pragmatic approach. And now I think U.S. policymakers have to be concerned that perhaps this guy intends to be true to his word.
A U.S. official says there is concern in Washington over Mr. Erbakan's trip, but the concern is tempered because the prime minister has also made several pro-Western moves. Right after taking office, he got Turkey's National Assembly to extend Operation Provide Comfort, the U.S.-led operation to shield Iraqi Kurds from Saddam Hussein. In addition, the new prime minister has not repudiated Turkey's defense agreement with Israel, which he opposed before taking office. Ian Lesser of the RAND Corporation says Mr. Erbakan has toned down his anti-Western rhetoric.
Before Turkey's last elections, Erbakan was talking in a fashion that scared a lot of observers in Turkey and in the West, because he was talking about failure of Western institutions to help Turkey, was asking openly whether Turkey ought to remain a member of the NATO alliance, and so forth. We've seen a very, very marked moderation in his rhetoric since then. He no longer says that. Leading members of his party no longer say that.
But is this moderation genuine, or has it been forced on the prime minister by political circumstances? His mandate is limited. Most Turks voted for secularist parties in the last election. Mr. Erbakan's Refah party received just over 21% of the vote and had to form a coalition to govern. If his party wins more support in future elections, will Mr. Erbakan return to anti-Western policies? The U.S. official, who requested anonymity, says the jury is still out on that question. Adding to the uncertainty is Turkey's national identity crisis. During the Cold War, the country looked almost exclusively to the West. But now that the Cold War is over, where exactly does Turkey belong? Zeyno Baran of the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Turkey's not really accepted in Europe yet. It is Islamic. And the experience with Bosnia has created a sort of a negative sentiment in Turkey, thinking whether it is possible to have a Muslim country within Europe. Erbakan is trying to send a message that there are other directions Turkey could look.
Besides the search for national identity, trade is a big reason why Turkey might look east. The Turkish economy is in serious trouble, and a majority of Turks are eager for the benefits that will come from increased trade with Iran and Iraq. Overtures to those countries reflect Turkey's desperate need for economic development as much as Mr. Erbakan's Islamic revivalism. So, as U.S. officials shape policy toward Turkey, they face a volatile mix of issues: national pride, religious fundamentalism, and a growing economic crisis. Alan Makovsky offers this advice to Washington.
It has to continue to support Turkey as an ally while keeping Mr. Erbakan at arm's length. I think, for one, the United States should not consent to an Erbakan meeting with President Clinton, for example, if he asks for one.
The problem with this approach, an administration official said, is that Mr. Erbakan came to office by popular democratic means, and the United States has a policy of encouraging democracy. It would be strange for Washington to keep the new prime minister at arm's length. That doesn't mean the U.S. will embrace him, the official said, but we will judge him by his behavior. It's important that Mr. Erbakan understand where the lines are, where his policy goes beyond what's proper, the official continued. And he said, we have drawn very bold lines against any military or intelligence cooperation between Turkey and Iran or between Turkey and Iraq. This is Ted Clark in Washington.